So one of the things that you will hear me talking a lot about is how there's a root cause to children's big feelings. Things like anger, anxiety, not wanting to go to school, hitting you, not sleeping on their own, whatever it is that a child is struggling with and that you're struggling with as a parent with them, there is a root cause to all of that. It's not random. Anxiety isn't random. People are not just anxious people. I mean, definitely, I have found that sensitive children and people have a tendency towards fear more, I would say. But we're not just anxious people, full stop. There's something underlying that is causing those feelings. So there's a root cause to everything. And I think when I start to then talk to parents about that, one of the things that parents ask me is why does my child feel this way? Like, because I'll talk about how one of the root causes is often a feeling of I don't feel safe, like emotionally safe or safe in my body. And parents will understandably ask the question, why does my child feel that way? Why does my child not feel safe? Like, what's a really hard thing to hear? You know, I can imagine that would be really difficult to hear as a parent, that your child potentially doesn't feel very safe inside, in who they are, in their body. And I want to reassure you and say, look, I really resonate with that. I'm 40 at the time that I record this podcast episode, and I've spent a lot of time saying things like, as an adult, saying things like, I just want to feel more comfortable in my body. I always just felt really just not at home, like not comfortable in my body, in myself. And what I've come to realise in the past 6 months through learning more about sensory therapy and how our senses impact our nervous system is that my senses were not feeling supported and they weren't being strengthened, and that was impacting how my nervous system functioned. And when my nervous system was in that place, I did not feel comfortable in myself. I was more likely to feel be in a fight or flight state or a freeze state. You know, these different states that our nervous system dips in and out of. And basically, it's a nervous system that is not flexible. It's not working to its optimum. It was meaning that I wasn't able to just feel emotions and process them and release them. It also means that because my senses weren't feeling supported, it was almost like throwing my nervous system off, because our senses are very linked to our nervous system. So my nervous system couldn't function at its best when my senses weren't being supported. So I've learned so much about this year, this past 6 months, and I've been putting it all into practice in my own life and just seeing such incredible changes in many areas of how I feel. And I'm really excited to bring this to the Calm Child Clinic for the first time this year, because I've seen what a difference it's made for me, and I just think it's going to make a huge difference for children. So parents can learn these exercises that I've been doing to help strengthen their child's senses and give them the input, the sensory input, like support that they need, which is really going to impact how they feel. And then you see things like anxiety, meltdowns, anger. You just see them start reducing, because those feelings are the end result. It's like if you're reading a book, those symptoms and behaviours you're seeing are like chapter 7.
there's a whole story that there's six other chapters that happen before that chapter, and you need to get to the root. You know, you need to work back to chapter one. What's going on? What's causing this anger that I'm seeing in my child in chapter seven, if that makes sense? So back to the question that parents will ask, which is like a very worried question. Why in the world will my child not feel safe? Some of it is down to the fact that they don't feel safe in their body. You know, when I've had different experiences, such as like feeling like things were moving a lot, you know, this year I've strengthened my vestibular, so I've strengthened my balance, which has and other things, which has hugely impacted the way that I feel. That feeling of feeling like things are moving around me, not so much a dizziness feeling, but there's no other way to describe it unless you've experienced it and you'll know what I mean. That has actually gone in the past couple of months, and by speaking to an occupational therapist, I've been told that that is down to the exercises that I've been doing to strengthen my senses, which is really fun. So chuffed and proud myself for putting that effort in and like creating that result myself. It's really cool. But when you have those kind of experiences, for example, where you feel a bit off balance, that hugely impacted how I felt. That absolutely threw my confidence and created feelings of fear. So when we have a child with a sensitive nervous system, some of the reasons why they might not be feeling that safety, that settled, I'm okay feeling, is possibly down to the fact that their senses need some strengthening. You know, maybe they're experiencing something that they can't put into words to you. Because I've had those experiences all my life, definitely as a child, and never would have, never put it into words. I don't think even as a younger adult that I did either. Because you very quickly get used to your own experiences, don't you? Like, you know, just think about things you experience. We just think it's us or part of life. We don't really question how we feel sometimes. But if your child is, and I don't know if they are, but let's just say they might be, if they're experiencing something like that, or something like light sensitivity or noise sensitivity, that's going to create some discomfort. Because we don't really feel that settled inside when we're having those experiences. It's a bit like, imagine somebody put you on the waltzers. I would never get on them. That would just not be good for me. A good experience for me at all. But for some people, that would be fun. But let's say for the person that doesn't enjoy that kind of experience, when they're spinning around, that's going to make them feel very unsettled inside. And that is an extreme example. But if your child is having some kind of experience, like a sensory experience, then it will make them feel unsettled. You know, so that could be part of why they're not feeling safe inside. And none of this, let me just remind you, none of this, it says anything about your parenting or who you are as a human being. You know, when you hear the words, some of this might be because your child isn't feeling safe inside, I know that so many people will go straight to, and that means I'm a bad person or an incapable parent. And it doesn't mean that at all. It's simply a description of how your child might be feeling. And that often is because as a parent, you've probably not recognised what it is they need as a sensitive child. You know, and when I say sensitive child, I mean a highly sensitive child, a child who's autistic, a child with ADHD, a child with dyspraxia, like all these different terms that we use and these different, in some cases, diagnoses. But underneath, I have found that those, all those children have a sensitive nervous system. So when I talk about sensitive child, these days I'm more talking in term, like a general term of a child who has a sensitive nervous system. And you're probably just starting or recently been learning more about what your child needs. And who would have known that from the get-go? Like, nobody gets this information until they learn it. So, yeah, please don't feel any guilt when you hear these kind of things, because this is just kind of like a waking up to, like, oh, I didn't know my child had all these different needs or things going on, and now it's just learn about it, you know? Learn more to understand them. None of how they're feeling says anything about who you are. It literally says, oh, that just shows that I didn't have this information because nobody had taught it me and I didn't know I needed it. And it really is as simple as that. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that. Like, there's a root cause to all sorts of different feelings and behaviours that a child has going on. There's a root cause, and often the root causes are the same. No matter what the behaviours or symptoms are, anger, anxiety, not sleeping, bedwetting, school phobia, the root cause of all that is often the same. And some of it is to do with a child not feeling settled in their body, like literally in their experience of life. And some of that I found is down to their senses, how their senses are operating and what impact their senses are having on their nervous system. So I'd love to share more about this. This is a really important topic and one that I'm hugely passionate about, because when parents come through my clinic, it runs for 12 weeks, I would say in a good 90%, so, you know, 90% of parents in a group tell me that they see significant change in how their child feels and is acting, behaving in their everyday life. A good 90% of parents say they see a significant change, and often that happens within about 8 weeks. I run the clinic for 12 weeks because over the past 4 years running this clinic, I've seen that it's on average takes about 12 weeks for parents to get the kind of change they want for their child's happiness. And, you know, some parents need longer, and that's absolutely fine. But 12 weeks seems to be the sweet spot. So, yeah, the clinic is where I teach all of this stuff. The clinic is where I show you this in more depth and give you the tools to go and then action it, things to put into practice to actually start helping strengthen your child's senses, amongst many other things that I cover in the clinic as well. We have a clinic opening next week on the 29th of June. And then that will be it then until later in the year. I'm probably going to open up a clinic end of November. But if you'd love to start getting some advice over the summer, even if summer is busy for you, the advice that I have to give and the strategies and the exercises, they are things that in many cases take up to 5 minutes to do a day. So this is not anything that you couldn't fit in, even if you have a busy summer. But it could, if you can build up a consistent routine during your summer, that effort and that input could produce a really great change for you for the new school term, whenever that school term is in your part of the world. But in the UK, we're looking at September. So August, September, you know, you really could be looking at a much calmer and happier child, which of course produces such a calmer home, doesn't it? Because when your child's struggling, like literally the whole family are walking on eggshells, and it impacts their siblings, impacts your marriage, impacts everyone. So I'd love to share more. You can join me in the clinic if there are spaces left by the time you hear this episode. Just go to www.acalmhome.com. I'll put that in the bio info at the bottom of this podcast episode. And if you do listen to this and it's gone way past June, then yeah, check out that page anyway, because it's likely there'll be another clinic coming up at some point when you listen to this. And definitely I would say I'm going to be opening one about end of November, mid to end of November 2023. But yeah, go to www.acalmhome.com, and whenever you listen to this episode, I'm sure there'll be something there that could help you. Take care, lots of love, and I'll talk to you soon. One thing that women say to me on a regular basis is, I don't want my son or my daughter to have to experience what I experienced as a child. Or they say it like this, I don't want history to repeat itself. And what they're really saying is, as I've grown up into an adult, I've now recognised that I often didn't feel seen or heard by my parents or my parents. And, you know, I've learned a few things along the way. I've realised our childhood experiences really influence who we are as an adult. And so there's no way I want my child to feel how I felt. And one thing that I think happens for these women and makes it really difficult for them, and this is, you know, me observing hundreds of people that I work with and seeing commonalities, similar patterns coming up. So the reason I'm sharing it on this podcast today is because if it's applicable to 20, 50, 80 people, it's applicable to billions of people. We're more alike than we are different, it turns out. Is that they then put a heap of pressure on themselves to get it right. It's almost like, I'm going to make up for my parents' mistakes. Wow, what a heavy weight that is. Because you're human and you're never going to get it right all of the time. You're probably never going to get it right half of the time. And what a relief that is to realise, like, that is expected. Like, it's expected that you wouldn't even get it right half of the time because of your humanness. And what I see is women put this huge pressure on themselves to do it differently, to get it right, to almost save their child from never having to feel those feelings that they felt. But the reason that doesn't work is because they end up feeling a ton of pressure. They feel guilty every single time they make a mistake, which is probably going to be every day. Let's be fair. Let's face it. We make mistakes every day. We cannot be loving and listening every moment, every day. And so you're probably going to be making those mistakes every day. That means every day you're feeling shit about yourself. And I say this, I'm sat in my conservatory at the moment with the sun beaming down, and I'm saying this feeling pretty relaxed right now, sharing this with you. But I'm talking to myself here as well. Like, I'm on this journey with you. You know, whether I'm 10, 5, 20 steps ahead of you, 2 steps ahead of you, I'm guiding you. I'm sharing with you what's helped me, so that you can see if that can help your life. But I'm still on this journey with you. I'm still human. I know what it's like to learn a load of stuff. Like, I've dedicated, I'd say, most of my life right now, since I was age 21. The last 20 odd years have been devoted to self-development and learning and growing. And I make mistakes every day. And I also have high expectations of myself. I often think, oh, you should have said that differently, Jen. Or why did you say it like that? Or you should know more than that by now. So I want to call that out, because the reason we're often doing that is because there's this deep-rooted belief that many of us are carrying, which is, at the root core of it, I'm not good enough. At the deep down root core, many women are believing that the reason my parent didn't listen to me, the reason that I didn't feel understood or heard, was because I wasn't lovable. There was something about me that wasn't lovable or good enough. Now, the more we've learned, the more we've come to recognise, well, actually, my parent, the way that they didn't speak to me or did speak to me, didn't make me feel lovable. But the reason we often still think it's because of us, subconsciously, even if you're thinking, no, I've reconciled this, I know it's not me. Have you reconciled it subconsciously? Deep down in yourselves, do you 100% believe at your core that you are lovable? And so that's what I want to just talk about today and touch upon, is that one of the missing pieces why we don't often realise that, that it isn't that we weren't lovable, is because we don't fully recognise that the reason everyone has spoken to us, or not spoken to us, the way that they have throughout our life and our childhood, is because they actually also didn't feel good enough. Because whoever taught them that they were good enough, whoever showed them love, whoever listened to them and made them feel heard. So we're talking about a generational thing here, aren't we? And, you know, circling back to the main point of what I'm sharing here today, is that many women look to their past and think, well, that was awful, or there was parts of that that were really crap. I've had this beautiful child now. I don't want to repeat that for them. So now I'm going to do everything that I can to turn this around. And granted, if you're already doing this, like if you're listening to this podcast episode, if you are reading 3 pages of a book every 2 months, like if you're even making the effort to learn something about this topic, you are doing something differently. Like, just breathe that in for a moment. All of us are choosing something differently right now by even having this conversation. But we're never going to make up, heal, compensate for the experiences that we had. You cannot bypass that and make up for it just by changing things for your child. Because guess what? You're still going to be carrying your own hurt and pain with you. You're going to try helping your child believe that they are lovable. You're going to do everything you can to listen to them, whilst carrying around this inner child, this younger part within you, that still doesn't believe it themselves, really, and also hasn't really had much experience. This is the main point. Hasn't really had much experience of being listened to, you know? And so there's this, like, it doesn't match. I'm trying to think what the word is, like, incongruency. It's not congruent. It's not natural. It's like you're trying to do this, give this beautiful gift to your child, but you never received it yourself. And so there's this missing link. And what I've been doing for years without really even talking about it is I naturally help women, and I've also coached men as well, but it's predominantly women that come to me. I help women who are mothers actually feel listened to, sometimes for the first time in their life. I've had women on our group coaching call literally cry, like tear up, start crying, literally because they just felt listened to, and probably for the first time ever, if not first time in years. And none of that is because I'm more special than anyone else. It's because I've had years of feeling that myself. I've been around people who also knew how to make people feel, or help people feel, listened to, because they'd had that experience themselves. And so they could listen to me. They could help me feel this feeling that I had never felt before.
because the people that were around me, not because they weren't amazing people, but because they'd never felt it themselves. You can't pass on a feeling of feeling loved or listened to or cared for if you don't know what it feels like or what it sounds like or what it looks like. You know, they are skills. These are skills that I've learnt. And sometimes the skills come naturally to me, and sometimes they're not an automatic thing because they're still relatively new to me. I've only had this experience in the last eight, nine years of my life. And so they are skills. Like, how do I help this person feel listened to right now? Okay, probably going to be, for example, I'm not going to interrupt them. You'll be amazed how many people interrupt each other. I hear it all of the time, particularly when I work with couples. On the rare occasion when I work with a couple, the amount of times people interrupt each other. So there's a skill, you know. I've learned to do my best to not interrupt people when I'm trying to actively listen. So just to bring this full circle, you know, I just wanted to remind all of us today that this common struggle that many of us have of like wanting to make up for the past, you know, for me, that's like the way that I would naturally compensate is like, right, I'm gonna help everyone not have to feel that. You know, you probably do that with your child. I'm just going to make sure Tommy never feels what I felt in the past. So I do it with my company. You know, it's very natural that my brain would go to, okay, I'm just going to make sure these people never have to feel this. And it's like, no, that's not, firstly, it's not helpful for people when we're trying to rescue them. You know, when we're rescuing them and trying to make sure they never feel any of these emotions, like that's not loving, that's just rescuing. And it's always coming from a place of our own pain. So we can't bypass ourselves. We really must look at our own pain, like look at the ways where we're feeling guilty or ashamed about things that we might have said and done in the past, where we're feeling angry towards people about the ways that they spoke to us in the past. You know, all of that needs to be healed and supported step by step in little bits here and there so that you can naturally be there for your child in the way that you want to be. And that's what we're doing in the Connected Pathway. To be honest, I've been doing this for years, but I want to be even louder and clearer in my message around this now, that we cannot help the next generation. We can't help your children. We can't help anybody else until we've actually started to feel supported, felt cared for, felt listened to ourselves. And why would we bypass ourselves? Why would we skip over? It's almost like I used to believe my time has been and gone. Even in my 30s, I was thinking, yeah, like that's, you know, I'm not a child anymore. This is something you just feel as a child. And then I was on this mission to help everyone not have to feel that. That was more when I was in my rescuer mode earlier in my career. And then I realized, ah, no, God is presenting me with this opportunity here 9 years ago to actually feel listened to myself, to actually go deep on some healing here, to understand why people around me growing up couldn't listen to me, not because I wasn't lovable, but because of the reasons why they actually couldn't do it. You know, and I started to understand about generations before me and just had a bit more of an insight into what was going on for them. And that didn't make, it's not that it made me think, oh, well, there you go then, like that I can now, you know, I don't have all this pain still to heal. It was more just like, oh, okay, it was never about me.
And the thing is children always think that the way their parents act around them is about them. I say this to parents all the time because I know from my own childhood experience and, you know, years of training, is that we, as children, we make everything about ourselves. And so as an adult, when I then learn in my 30s, no, it was never about you. It was never about you, Jem. This is why your mum, your dad reacted like this in these situations. This is why they didn't say anything in these situations. And when you can start to understand what played out in your childhood and how humans actually think and feel, you can gain so much of your own self-worth back to realise that it actually never was about you, never was personal. So, what did you take from this conversation today? I like to feel like we've sat down and had a cup of tea together. I was going to say cup of coffee, but I don't drink coffee. But I like to feel like we've had a chat to get together today. And what have you taken from this conversation? I'm trying to think, what have I taken from this conversation? For me, it's about giving myself some grace. Like, yeah, I've learned so much. But learning so much and experiencing so much still is never going to equal perfect human. So I think for me, it's about understanding no matter how much I learn, how much I grow, it's about being thankful for that knowledge and practicing with it. To just bring more happiness into my life, more joy into my life, but never to actually stop making mistakes. And that's what I love doing beautifully in my group experiences with clients. And that's what we'll be doing in the Connector Pathway, is making sure that there's a huge space where people feel like, I'm not coming here to just learn and then get things right and change it in my parenting. It's like, no, come to this space because this is where I want to remind you it's okay to be human. This is the space where we actually normalize getting things wrong. Because most of us didn't experience it being okay as children to get things wrong. Most of us got chastised, told off by teachers, parents, grandparents. We didn't really have a lot of experience, did we, of getting things wrong and then still feeling loved. I'll just say that again. We didn't get a lot of experience growing up of getting things wrong, of inconveniencing other people or getting it wrong, making mistakes, and then people around us saying, it's okay and I still love you, or at least us feeling that way. A lot of us got, I don't know, sent to our room, told to stay in and write whatever many lines. Like, it's just ridiculous when you think back. None of us... ridiculous how any of us were meant to have learnt from those experiences. All that happened was we just felt more fear. So that's that's the heart of the Connector Pathway for me, is to make sure that people are coming back to, yeah, I'm human. You know, in the past I've had women, I've actually said, like, tell me one thing you've done this week that you feel ashamed or guilty about. And it's only in us sharing those things, and I've often shared things myself as well, it's only in sharing that we actually collectively feel like we can actually show up and be ourselves, because we're not trying to hide or be perfect. And then you'll just release a lot of stress even in that process. And I'm always reminding my clients, the people that I love to work with, I'm always reminding them, just take one small thing from this group call we've had this week and just practice with one thing. I look forward to speaking to you again. And if you want to know more about the Connected Pathway, I will put a link somewhere around this podcast episode so you can go and check it out. Catch you later, guys, and have a good day. Bye.